Okay, 1 John chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 5 to 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Let's just read those verses first of all, and then we'll move into it. 1 John 1, verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, we walk in darkness and lie." If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Last week we talked about the basis of fellowship, and we said the basis for fellowship was sound doctrine and faith in Christ. Tonight we're going to be looking at how to have true fellowship with God, how to have true fellowship with God. And in our text here, John contrasts the faithful character of God with the false claims of carnal Christians. The faithful character of God with the false claims of carnal Christians. And so we're going to be looking at that this evening, beginning with verse number 5. The faithful character of God, we see in verse number 5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Now, when we think about God's character, it says that God is light. God is light. The word light there, it indicates or pictures His holiness. It pictures His holiness. It's God's very nature. It isn't that God is looks bright or looks light, but God is light. God is light. Lawrence, look up here. Okay? All right. God is light, and He wants us to understand His character. God is light. He's holiness. He exposes all that is hidden in the sins of darkness. God's light emphasizes His purity. So when you think of light, you think of something that's white, it's clean. You ladies, when you have your rooms clean, they sparkle with whiteness and brightness. And it's the idea of cleanness and purity, and it exposes the things that are sinful. You know, when you turn on a light, you can see the things that are in the room that are not supposed to be there. You can see the darkness, the dirt and things of that nature when you turn on the light. Now, it says that in Him is no darkness at all. Now, darkness then refers to or pictures the opposite. It pictures unholiness. It pictures sin. God is absolute light. Now, notice with me here, and you might even want to make a notation here, when it says that in Him is no darkness at all, in the Greek, John used a double negative. Now, double negatives in English are bad grammar. All right, if you say, did you go to town? No, never. You know, that's bad English. But double negatives in Greek make it twice as strong. So he uses a double negative here, and he says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And so he's emphasizing that there's absolutely no darkness in God. God is pure. God is clean. Now darkness, unbelievers live in darkness all the time. They love the darkness rather than light. John chapter 3, verse 19, Jesus told us that the unbelievers love the darkness, the things of darkness, the things of sin, the things of this world that are ungodly and unpleasing to God and unholy. They love that. But yet God warns Christians to flee from darkness. You know, sometimes we may think, well, darkness here is just talking about an unsaved person. But that's not true. When you look at the Bible, it's used in other ways. For example, Romans chapter 13, verse 12. Romans 13, 12 says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the works of light." Now, Paul there was writing to Christians. And he said, now, Christians, you need to cast off the works of darkness and put on the works of light. So he's indicating there that Christians can struggle with the trouble of darkness. We can, and we know that in reality, that all around us are temptations that get us distracted from walking in the light of God's holiness. Also in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, he talks about the same subject. Ephesians 5, 8, he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now, Paul would not say walk as a child of light if it wasn't possible to walk not as a child of light. He's commanding us to do something because he knows that there's a potential and a temptation to walk in darkness as a Christian. And when a Christian gets away from God, and he gets carnal in his heart, and he starts doing the things that the world does, and he's living in darkness, doing things that are dark and displeasing to God, that's not what God wants. And God says we need to walk in light. And he goes on there in that Ephesians passage, and he says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." He said, don't fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That doesn't mean you can't say hi to your neighbor that's living in darkness. That's not what he's talking about. To have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, he's talking about spending time enjoying the things of darkness. He said, don't do that. Don't enjoy the things of darkness. Don't, but rather reprove them. Because darkness is not where the Christian ought to live. The Christian ought to live in the light, not in the darkness. And so, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Now, to walk in the light, we must stay near to God. You know, you think about this. I thought about bringing my lantern tonight and shutting all the lights off, but it was too much difficulty going shutting the lights off. But if you turn a lantern on, always a light has a circle around it. There's a sense in which light is always in a circle. And the center of the light, or the source of the light, is the brightest place. And the further you get away from the source, the darker it gets. And that is true with God as well. God is the source of light. He is the center of light. He is light. And the closer we get to God, the closer we get to the light. The further we get from God, the further we get from the light. And the further we get away from the light, the closer we get to darkness. And it's impossible to be in the light and in the darkness at the same time. Can't do that. Because the two are opposites. And so, God does not want us living in the darkness. He wants us living in the light. Now, before we came to Christ, we were in the darkness all the time. We had nothing to do with the light. Once we came to Christ, we now have the opportunity to come close to the light. We can draw near to God because we've gotten right with God. And so, we can be in fellowship with God. We can be in the light. But sometimes we wander out of the light and we get drifting off and we get away from the light. And we are over here further in darkness than we even know. And you know, many times we deceive ourselves and we're further in the dark than we think we are. You know, we might think, well, I can see pretty good, you know. I don't think I'm in the dark. And many times we get further away from the light than we should. And so, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. God's character is faithful. He is always light. He is never dark. He is always pure, right, good, holy, and upright in every way. And so, God is our standard, but He's also the light in which we need to stay near. We need to stay near Him in order to walk in the light. Now, false claims of carnal Christians. Let's take a look at this. Verses 6 through 10 shows us three false claims of carnal Christians. Now, before we look into this, let me just prep it a little bit here. While false teachers can make these same claims, right? They can claim that they have fellowship with God. They can claim that they have no sin. They can claim that they have never sinned. False teachers can do that. But, think with me on this. To whom was John writing? He was writing to Christians. And he was not writing to the false teachers. He was writing to Christians to warn about false teachers. Right? This book is not a book written to the false teachers. It's a book written to Christians about the false teachers. And so, as he's addressing the cause of the problem of the false teachers. And then also we see here that John uses the word we, including himself and other Christians in this. He says there in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness. All right, so he says we, that includes me and other Christians. So we see here that first of all, he is not addressing the false teachers because that's not his purpose in this book, is to write a book to correct the false teachers. It is to keep the Christians from following the false teachers. All right, so he's writing to Christians. He calls himself we and those that are with him as we, as believers. And fellowship with God begins at salvation, but as Christians, we must stay in the light to maintain that fellowship with God. And so that's why we saw there that about the light, as God is light and around Him is light, and the closer you get to God, the brighter the light is. You ever noticed as a Christian, the closer you get to God, the more things you see wrong in your life? You ever notice that? The closer you get to God, the more you see wrong. You know, you'd think, one of these days I'm going to stop finding things wrong in my life. But you know, the closer we get to God, the more we see. Why? Because the light gets brighter. The light gets brighter. We get closer to God, we see more of His holiness and more of our sinfulness. We get a little closer to God, we see more of His holiness and more of our sinfulness. And it keeps working that way because God is light. And so, as we stay close to God, we can stay in fellowship with God. As we get away from God, we lose our fellowship with God. And there's many examples of this relationship in the Bible. For example, in John chapter 15, verse 7, it talks about abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. So if we're going to abide in Christ, that means I need to stay close to Him. You know, there's some people that think that abiding in Christ is a synonym for being saved. Well, that just can't be. You read John chapter 15, Jesus was talking to His disciples. He wasn't saying, fellas, you need to get saved. He was saying, you're my disciples, you're my children, but you need to stay close to Me. You need to stay connected to the vine. Now, sometimes people look at that and say, oh yeah, but He chopped off one of the branches and sent it into the fire. But He's not talking about sending them to hell. He's saying that they're not going to be connected to the vine, so they're not going to be able to produce fruit. And so, abiding in Christ is something we do. Abide means to stay there, to remain there, to reside there, and it's something we're told to do. We're commanded to do it. In chapter 2 of 1 John, He commands us to abide in Christ. So if it's a command, then it's something we have a choice about. Then it's also an illustration or a comparison to walking in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. So we're walking in the Spirit and fellowship of the Spirit. And in Ephesians chapter 5, the verses we just read a few moments ago, it's walking in, as a children of light. It's the same thing. Walk as a child of light. Get in the light. Walk as a child of light. If you really are one of God's children and you belong in the light, then walk like you belong to God. Walk like you're in the light. Stay there. Don't wander off into the darkness. And then James chapter 4, verse 8, he used the illustration of draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. It's another thing, indicating that we can drift away from God. Otherwise, He wouldn't say draw near. And you know, we know it from what the Bible says, but we also know it in practical sense. Every one of us have struggled with staying close to God. That's part of the Christian life. You know, wouldn't it be great if when we got saved, from that moment on, we were right next to God, walking in the light, living great, always making the right choices, always saying the right things, living a perfect life, living sinlessly. That would be wonderful, but that's not the way it is. We still struggle. We still struggle. Even the Apostle Paul struggled, we'll see in just a moment. So, we need to stay in the light. And it also is an illustration of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, where he says, there in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace He has saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is not working for salvation. All right? It's not working for salvation. That's what Ephesians 2:8-9 says, that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. So we're not working for salvation. We're not working to keep salvation. Years ago, there was a man that was coming to our church for a while, and he believed he had to work to keep saved. He said, you're saved by grace, but you got to work hard to keep saved. I thought, boy, that's a tough one, because if you can't work to get saved, then you're certainly not going to be able to work to keep it. But he was convinced that that's the way it worked, but that's not what the Bible's talking about. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and the fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. He said, you're kept saved. Once a person's saved, they're kept saved by God. They're not going to get lost. They may get out of fellowship with God, but God's not going to kick them out of the family. It's just like all of you who have children. Your children, as they grow up or grew up or whatever the situation may be, they have done wrong and they will do wrong. From time to time, kids are kids. We're humans. But you don't kick them out of the family. They may lose their fellowship, but you don't kick them out of the family. They're still part of the family. And that's the way it is with God. God does not kick us out of the family. So, if it's not working for salvation and it's not working to keep salvation, then what he's saying here is this abiding in Christ, walking in the Spirit, walking in the light, drawing near to God, is working out our salvation. It's working out our salvation. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, Ephesians Philippians 2:12 says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, that verse has confused a lot of people, because they interpret it as meaning work for your salvation or work to keep your salvation. But that's not what he said. He said work out your salvation. By that, he's meaning work to stay close to God and live the Christian life. Don't just sit back and float. Work at it. Fulfill what God wants. Do the things that He wants you to do. Draw near to God. Have that fellowship with God. Be a witness for the Lord. Be a testimony for Him. Live a godly life. Do the things that God wants you to do. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Fearing that I'm going to fail the Lord and dishonor Him. Trembling about that. That's what God wants us to do. So this is all the basis of what God expects from us as Christians. So, we struggle with that sometimes. A lot of times we struggle with that. We struggle to stay in the light. Now, with that in mind, John goes on with the inspiration of the Spirit of God and gives us three false claims of carnal Christians. Number one is we have fellowship with God. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So he says here, it's a person that says, I got fellowship. I'm in fellowship with God. You know, let me ask you this. And I won't do this because this isn't very nice. But if someone came up to you, say a friend came up to you and asked you, are you in fellowship with God? I mean, just out of the clear blue, they walk up to you and said, are you in fellowship with God? What would you say? I'm in fellowship with God, of course. I mean, we don't want to say no. We're going to say, no, I'm carnal today. You know, we don't like saying that. So we like to think the best of ourselves. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of times we're not. A lot of times we drift away from the Lord. We're not in fellowship living like we ought to be. And the Apostle Peter mentions this in his second epistle. And men, we looked at this at our men's retreat the other day. But where Peter says, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he says, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. And he says, if these things be in you and abound, you will be fruitful. But, he says in verse 9 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter, he says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see as far off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. What's he describing? He's describing a carnal Christian. Someone who's forgotten that he was been changed, and God's done a work in his life and purged him from these old sins, and he's gotten back in there and gotten all muddy again. And God says, you forgot. I saved you from all that. Get out of that. Don't do that. Live over here in righteousness. The Apostle Paul was no exception. What did Paul say when he described his struggle with the Lord in the Christian life? He said over in Romans chapter 7, verse 19, he says, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil that I would not, that I do. Paul's saying, I struggle just like you. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing them. And so Paul was saying he struggled to stay close to God. He struggled to stay in the light. He struggled to stay where he ought to be in fellowship with God. And we may not be doing anything necessarily wicked. You know, we may not be out, you know, swearing and cursing and doing some wicked things in life. But, you know, in our hearts, we may have a bad attitude. We may have a bitter spirit, or we may get slack in our prayer life. Or maybe our Bible reading becomes mechanical and you just kind of do it because I'm supposed to. Kind of plow through it and just don't really pay any attention, but you just do it. Or maybe we have a worldly lifestyle. Nothing necessarily wicked, but we're not close to God. And so here he's addressing Christians that are saying, we have fellowship with God. But he says, no, wait a minute. If you say you have fellowship with God, but in reality God would say you're walking in darkness, then he says you're lying. You're lying. And you're not doing the truth. Now, when we see that, and he says that we lie and we do not the truth, he's indicating there that, you know, that when we in ourselves, we think, well, I'm pretty good. I'm all right. And, you know, I'm not doing anything really bad. So, I mean, I'm a pretty decent Christian. I think I'm in fellowship with God. And he says, if that's not what God says, then we're deceiving ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. And we're not helping ourselves by doing that. And he says, we're not doing God's truth. We're not doing what God says. Because the Bible tells us what God wants us to do. And we know, even like we saw there in Peter, he says we're to add to our faith virtue, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and all those things. And other places where he says that we're to put off all these and put on all these. We know. We know the truth, but we're not doing it. We're not doing the truth. And so, we've deceived ourselves. Romans chapter 13, verse 12, a verse that we read just a moment ago, says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light." So there needs to be the casting off and the putting on in order for us to stay in close fellowship with God. But on the positive side, look at verse number 7. The positive side. "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." He says, here's the positive side of this. If, instead of saying, I have fellowship with God, but I'm really walking in darkness, he says, instead of that, if we truly are walking in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. So he says, if we are in the light with Him, then two blessings come our way. Number one, we have fellowship with God. Number two, the blood of Christ cleanses us. It keeps us clean. You know, you cannot get right with God without coming too close to God. You ever thought about that? You ever tried to get right with God without getting close to God? Pretty tough to do. You can't do it. You can't do it. You got to come to God and say, God, I'm sorry. I was wrong. But you know, if we stay close to God, then cleansing is there available for us all the time by staying close to God. Because we're there with Him, close to God. And then as we go through our day and we slip up and we think something we shouldn't think, oh, Father, please forgive me. I'm sorry for that. And we keep on going. The cleansing's right there because we're walking close to Him. And we may trip and stumble, but we quickly get back up and we get our sins cleansed and we're back going again. It's because we're trying to stay close to God and we're working at that. So the blood of Christ there is to cleanse us and to keep us close to God. So the first claim of the false claim of the carnal Christians is that we have fellowship with God when we really don't. The second claim of the false claim of the carnal Christians is we have no sin. Verse number 8. Verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." All right, now, what do you mean by this saying we have no sin? The idea seems to be here that we're denying our flesh still has a sin problem. Denying that we still have a sin problem in our flesh. Or it may be referring to the denying we have any guilt of sin. I don't have a sin problem. You got a sin problem? Oh, you carnal Christian, not me. I don't have a sin problem. I'm walking with God. I'm close to God. I'm walking. And see, that attitude that I don't have a sin problem, I don't struggle with this anymore. I don't struggle with sin. You know, I'm walking with God and I'm doing fine. We're deceiving ourselves if we think that. Because we all struggle. Now, we may not struggle with the same sins we used to struggle with. You know, if you used to have a foul mouth and God has helped you to clean that up and you don't have the foul mouth anymore, maybe you can say, well, I don't struggle with that one anymore. God's given me victory. But there's still, maybe our thoughts give us trouble or maybe our attitude gives us trouble. So we still have sin problems. We still have a sin nature. We still have a sin problem. And denying that is not going to help us. You know, there are some people that claim or believe in what they call sinless perfection. And that is that when a Christian gets saved, when an unsaved person gets saved, they become a Christian. From that point on, they never sin. They're sinless from that point on. People that think that, what they have to do is they have to redefine sin. Well, that was just a mistake. That wasn't a sin. That was just a little one. That wasn't a big one. That doesn't count. And they start making excuses for things they do wrong. No, the truth is, even Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. He had a sin problem. He struggled with it. All through the Bible, we read over and over again, flee youthful lust, follow righteousness, to stay away from things that are wrong. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, Peter says, "As dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, it's war against the soul." He said, we're in a war. The devil's out to get us. 1 Peter 5, 7, 8 says that be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We got trouble with sin all around us. And so to deny it is not right. And he says that if we deny that, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin. And we're hurting ourselves to deny that. But on the positive side, the positive side. What's the positive side of this? The opposite here is in verse number 9. The opposite says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So on the one side, if we say, sin problem? Nope, I don't have any sin problem. I'm not guilty of sin. Then God can't help us. But as soon as we say, well, God, I have a sin problem, I got to struggle with that, then he says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. So the opposite of denying it is confessing it. The word confessor literally means to agree with God. God said, I got sin, and I said, I didn't. But when I agree with God, yes, I do have sin. I do have a sin problem. Then the blood of Christ can cleanse me. Now, as we look at this, we find four facts here about Christ's response to confessing Christians. Notice those four facts, very important ones. First of all, he is faithful. He's faithful. What does that mean? That means you can always depend upon God. He's faithful to forgive. You will never find a time that you come to God and you say, God, I know this is the 49th time I came to you today and asked you to forgive me for bad thoughts. God, would you please forgive me? God says, I'm faithful. I will forgive you. You know, as a human, we might say, oh, come on. How many times you got to do that same thing over and over again? Especially the little kids. You know, you remember when those little kids were, you know, you tell them to do something and they don't do this. And, okay, I won't do that. And 2 minutes later, they do it again. You know, and you think, oh, will they ever learn? But sometimes we're just big kids. And we do the same thing with God. And we keep doing wrong. And so we need to get right with God. And so God is faithful. Number two, God is just. Now, this is important we understand this. What does it mean, God is just? The word just means righteous or just. He is righteous to forgive us. Why is God righteous to forgive your sin? Well, here's why. Because he paid for it in full. He can come to me when I come to him and say, God, would you please forgive my sin? He can say, yes, I will. And that is absolutely just for God to do that because he has paid for it in full. Sometimes we refer to cleansing from God as pardon. I don't like that term, pardon. And here's why. And I'm not saying it's wrong. Even the Bible uses it in some places. They've translated it pardon when it's the word forgive. Here's why. When I think of pardon means to just kind of, oh, we'll let that one go. We'll forget that one happened and we'll let that one go. That's a pardon. You know, some criminal does something wrong and the government says, all right, we're going to pardon his sin or pardon his wrong. They just kind of forget it. Nobody has to pay for it. We'll just pretend that one didn't happen and you can go free. That's not what God does. God does not pardon us in that sense. The sense in which he pardons us is full forgiveness. God says, I paid the debt in full. Every lie you tell, I have paid for it in full. Every bad thought, I have paid for it in full. Everything that you've done, I paid for in full. And so when I come to him and say, God, would you please forgive me? He says, I can do that. I am just in doing that because I've already paid for it in full. It's paid for. So he is faithful. He is just to forgive. To forgive. The word forgive there means to send away. To send away. He can send away my sin and never see it again. The book of Micah says that he buries it in the depths of the deepest sea. The psalmist says it's as far as the east is from the west. It's gone. He sends it away. And then he says, and I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Cleanse. To clean us from every taint of unrighteousness. It's gone. I've mentioned this many times before, but it just, I remember the time when it finally dawned on me. And it just has never left my mind since then. And that is, if God has cleansed me from all unrighteousness, the only thing that is left is righteousness. He took away all the unrighteousness, cleansed me of it. So the only thing I'm left with is his righteousness. Not because I'm a good guy, but because God's a great God. And he's cleansed me. He took away all the unrighteousness, left me with righteousness. And so, the person that says, I have no sin, I don't have any problem with sin, I'm not guilty of sin, they're deceiving themselves and hurting themselves. But the person that says, God, would you please forgive me? I confess my sins. I admit to you. I agree with you, God, that I do have sin. I'm not denying. I do have sin, God. I agree with you. Then he can be cleansed and forgiven. But then there's a third kind of carnal Christian that claims that I have not sinned. I have not sinned at all. You know, here's a carnal Christian who disagrees with God about what sin is. You ever met a person that says, well, you might think that's sin, but I don't think that's sin. Whatever it might be. You know, you might say, well, is this the way that you live? Yeah. Well, did you know God says that's wrong? Well, that's a matter of opinion. You know, God might say that, but I disagree. I think it's fine. Well, what he's saying is that the things that I do, I don't think they're sin. You know, maybe the devil convinces us that, well, everybody's doing it. You know, you look around us. There's so many things that people do today that was never accepted in the past. And people justify and say, well, I'm no different than anybody else. Sure, I do that, but everybody does that. Couldn't be wrong if everybody does it. Well, everybody's not the standard. God's the standard. And so when we start agreeing with the devil and agreeing with everybody else and saying that, you know, we justify our sins, maybe we get this idea of, well, you know, that wasn't really a sin because I didn't do it, I just thought it. Well, what's God say about our thoughts? He says our thoughts are potentially sinful as well. He says we're to keep our thoughts clean. He says if we think evil, which is like doing evil. And so here's a person that's trying to justify their sins and say, well, I didn't do it, I just thought about it. And, you know, I didn't, you know, really sin. That wasn't really sin. We disagree with God. And what's he say? If we say that, he says we've called God a liar. We're saying, God, well, we wouldn't want to say that, though. That sounds so terrible. God, you're lying. That's not a sin. No, we don't say it out loud, but in our actions we do. When we say, well, you know, I don't think that's really sin. I don't see anything really wrong with that. And you know, there's all kinds of Christians. We live in a world of Christians that there's so many Christians that are not walking close to God. Many. And you know, it's easy to say, well, maybe they're not even saved. That's a possibility. Maybe they're not. But you know, you think in the Bible. Can you think of any book in the Bible that describes a church full of Christians that weren't walking with God? The Corinthian church. The Corinthian church. You think about that. We'll say, well, you know, they weren't that big. Well, think about what they're doing. In their congregation, one of their church members was sleeping with his stepmother. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. There's all kinds of fights and quarrels in the congregation. There's immorality in the congregation. There's husbands and wives that are fighting and feuding in the congregation. There's all kinds of problems in that congregation, but Paul did not say, folks, because you're living like this, you're obviously not Christians. He didn't say that. He wrote to them as Christians. And he's addressing them as Christians. Why? Because Christians have the potential to do wrong and not walk with God. Now, that's not right. And that's what a lot of the New Testament is about, is let's walk with God. Let's do what's right. Don't fall into sin. Don't walk in the darkness. Don't live like the world. Don't do the things that the world does. Love not the world. Love the things of God. And over and over and over again, we're warned, stay away from evil, draw near to God. Why? Because it's always a potential. There's a potential for that. We need to stay away from those things. So, the person that says, I've not sinned, I don't agree with God, I disagree, then he's really calling God a liar. And God's word is not in him. In other words, he doesn't know the Bible. You know, what's the Bible tell us that we're supposed to do? In Psalm 119:11, it says, thy word have I hid in mine, what's the next word? Heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. God said, put the word of God in your heart to keep you from sinning. So he says, he doesn't even know the word of God. He's ignoring the Bible. He's saying, God, I don't agree with you. I know maybe you said there somewhere in the Bible, I don't know where it is, but somewhere in there it says I shouldn't do that. But I don't think that's wrong. Everybody's doing it. How could it be possibly wrong? And there's a lot of people that use those kind of thinking in their philosophies to justify what they do is wrong and say it's not sin. So as we look at this tonight, when we get out of fellowship with God, it's not His fault, it's our fault. You think about the light again. The light is the source, or the source of the light is the brightest spot. God is light. And the light of God around Him. And we are to walk in the light. Then that means if you're going to walk in the light, you're going to have to walk close to God. Now, if I was to bring my lantern tonight, and after it was really dark outside, and we went for a walk, And I said, now stay in the light. Stay in the light. In order for you to stay in the light, if I'm walking and carrying the lantern, in order for you to stay in the light, you're going to have to stay close to me. If you wander off way over yonder, you're not going to be in the light. You're going to be in the dark. You've got to stay close to the one holding the light. And in this case, God is the light. And we need to stay close to God in order to stay in the light and to stay in fellowship with God. So God wants us to stay close to Him. He is light. He is holy. He is pure. He is unchanging. He never moves. God is not moving. So if we are not walking in the light, we can't blame God. We can't blame God. It's our fault. And God wants us to stay in that light with Him. And the false claims that we're walking in the light when we're really not, God knows the truth. We may trick ourselves into thinking, well, yeah, I think I'm a pretty good Christian. I think I'm walking in the light. You know, the truth of the matter is, a lot of times what we need to do is we need to examine ourselves. And I say we, I'm saying me too. To every day examine ourselves, am I really in the light with God? You know, the biggest struggle that we have as a Christian is to staying close to God. It's not that God makes it hard to stay close to Him, but our old flesh and the devil tries to keep us from close to God. And he'll do everything he can to keep us from close fellowship with God. So we have to work to stay close to God and in fellowship with God so that we can be truly close to Him and in the light. And let's not get involved in saying, well, what I did really wasn't sin. And I don't struggle with sin. I'm a pretty good person. And we think highly of ourselves instead of being truthful. He said, if you deny your sin, you can't be forgiven. But if you confess it, you agree with God that you're a sinner and you've done wrong, then you can have your sins forgiven. And you know, some people would look at this section and say, well, this is talking about the unsaved person. And the reason that I went into quite depth earlier to explain to you why I don't believe that it is because of the fact that he was writing not to the false teachers. He was writing to the Christians about the false teachers. He used the we, said he's talking to us. He says, me and other Christians. And if we walk in the light, then we can have fellowship with God. But if we don't walk in the light and walk in darkness, we're not in fellowship with God. And so, as we consider these things here tonight, you know, and we need to stay walking in the light in order to be what God wants us to be, in order to stay in that close fellowship with God, to have that true fellowship that God wants us to have. So let's stay close to God, work at it, strive at it. Remember, our enemy, the devil, is after us to pull us away from the light. Our flesh is after us to pull us away from the light. But God says, stay in the light. Stay in the light.